things prepared for the worship service. Amen.
Amen.
And we're always looking for ways to improve upon the worship service. Amen. Because we want you to be enriched. We want it to be an experience for you.
Yes.
When you come in to worship the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. So without any further delay, we're going to go ahead and take a look at a few texts that we want to talk about briefly today. God has impressed some things upon my heart that I believe we personally need. I need it myself, first of all, let me say. First and foremost, a lot of times you may wonder what comprises the content of the message for a Sunday service. And a lot of it has to do with personal convictions that God gives me about things that I see in the church and in my own life, especially in my own life. And so I'm never preaching at you. I am always preaching the word for you and for me. Amen. And that's part of what God commanded when he told Timothy, for example, through Paul, he told him to give attention to the things that he teaches so that by doing so, you will not only bless those who hear you, but also yourself. That's what the admonition to Timothy is. That's because God sends in the word. And it's for everybody from the pulpit to the back of the church, everybody involved. Amen. The ministers, the officers, everybody. We all need a word from on high. So we're going to go ahead today. This is an interesting set of verses that we have here today to meditate on. And of course, he said, continue in my word until I return, right? He said, go into all the world and teach all the nations. So we're not only teaching here, we're teaching outside of here. Amen. Everywhere we go, that's how we have to style our lives, is to be in teaching mode at all times, always sharing the good things that God has shared with you. Amen. So we're going to look today. I'm going to ask for everyone to read with me from the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, just a few verses. That's why I told you earlier, those of you who were here to be blessed with the teaching of the Sunday school, it was about the call of Jeremiah. And so now we're going into some of the message of Jeremiah here, which is also speaking to you and me today, even in perhaps even a more powerful way than it was in the days of Jeremiah. So we're going to look at chapter 13 and also New Testament, a classic passage, the conclusion and the concluding portion of the Sermon on the Mount, as it is called, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Amen. So if you can locate in your Bible Jeremiah 13, we're going to start at verse 23, just two verses there. And also the New Testament, Matthew 7 and 7. Amen. And we're going to read this word together today. Jeremiah 13 and 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leper his spots? Then may he also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. Amen. Selected verses from the Old Covenant, the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And now the New Testament is Matthew 7 and 7. Read with me. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You have heard selected verses from the book of Matthew, the conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. You may be seated in the sanctuary. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bless you today. Father, we give you praise. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to just come into the house of worship. We know that sometimes we think it's a small thing, but really it's a major thing, because you said, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. as the manner of some is, and even more so as we see the day drawing near. And Father, as we look around the world, we see things are drawing near. They're coming to be close to what you have said in your word that would characterize the time that you call the last days. And so, Father, we thank you that you let us be here today in the house of worship, the house of prayer, that we might come to hear your word. Father, we ask you to open our ears, open our hearts, that this seed might be sown on good soil, that it might produce to the praise of your glory fruit, even a hundredfold, that you would bless each of us individually. And Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We ask a blessing over your word to your people and on your people, and we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus. The church said together, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about challenged to selfless love. Challenged to selfless love. Amen. It's very important. And I'm saying challenge because love is not an easy thing to do. Now, I know we got folk that have told us what's love got to do with it. We've been hearing that saying out in the world. But I want you to know love's got everything to do with it. Amen. I want you to understand the scripture said God is love in 1 John chapter 4. So therefore, love has a lot to do with everything. Amen. And so, but the challenge for me and you is we all have a problem. Yeah. And you say, well, Pastor, I didn't come down here to hear about no problem. Well, you know what? We have a problem, and we have to acknowledge where we are. And so that's why it's a challenge for me and you, because we have a tendency many times to be into ourselves. In fact, this is true of everybody. No matter how loving you are, no matter how kind you are, no matter who you are and how you were brought up in the world, you always prefer yourself over others. That's just the way it is. Like somebody said, self-preservation is the first law of human nature, or something to that effect. I don't know who said that, but see that. So there Brother Tate says he thinks it was Darwin. Okay, now Darwin even turned around while he was on his deathbed. Did you know that? And didn't even believe the thing that he came up with that we call evolution. That was a hypothesis that he made as a young man.
Yep.
And when he got older, he repented, and it's a scripture. Not scripture, but there's a book written that says his favorite scripture was from the book of Hebrews. Yeah. He used to love the book of Hebrews. You know, and you will never hear that taught in the world, because they try to take evolution and teach it as science. Mm-hmm. You know, and it is not science, because science can be proven. You see, anything that's scientific can be proven. If it cannot be proven, it's not science. I don't care what they say. That's by their own definition. See, and not only that, but God is omniscience. That's what the word omniscience is, all science. He knows everything about science. Why? Because it was his idea. He created it all. He thought it up. And so basically, though, with us, we have an issue. And we're going to look at this just briefly today. Sometimes you have to take the castor oil to get healed, they say. Even though it don't taste good when it's going down, it'll do something for you. Some of the young kids don't know much about that. Some of the older kids know mama had to grab you and get a hold on you and make you take the castor oil when you didn't want to take it. You see, and because she knew it was going to do you better, and you're going to feel better after you get this down in you, but it's not going to be fun going down. Some of us remember 3 sixes and cod liver oil, not the one in the Bible. We talk about the medicine. You see what I'm saying? But if you don't take the medicine, guess what? You're not going to get any better. And mama knows what's best. She knew. So God is going to always tell you what's best for you. Even if it's cutting you a little when you hear it, if it gives you a little dismay or concern about yourself, it's going to be a blessing to you when it's over. And so let's just look at this here. Jeremiah, he was the prophet that we mentioned this morning, had been commissioned as a young man in the midst of turmoil in his country. His country was in great turmoil because they had been disobedient to God, and in spite of that, God had spared them, but he also had to chasten them. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. See, so God disciplines you just like good parents discipline their children. They know if you need a little spanking to get you back on the right track, I'm going to spank you. I ain't trying to kill you, but I don't want you doing that anymore, and you need to stop. See, and so God God will chasten those whom he loves. That's what it says. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Yeah. And he said, if I don't chasten you, then you're not mine. That's what it means. Right, he means you're not my child if I don't chasten you. So Jeremiah was called to be a part of the licking stick, if you will, against Israel and some of their disobedience. And so he went out. He didn't want to go. He resisted God's desire for him to go. He said, Lord, I can't go talk to these people. I'm only a child. They're not going to believe me. You know, but he told him to go ahead. Don't you know, before you, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You know what? Everybody that's saved, you have a predestination in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe the gospel. Did you know that? Amen. That's why in Romans, Paul wrote to the church of Rome, he said, for whom he did foreknow, Romans 8:29, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And them whom he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. Amen. See, so Paul, we call that the golden chain. Theologians Amen. Call that passage the golden chain, because God preordained that you would be saved if you are saved.
Amen.
He said in John 15:16, you did not choose me, I have chosen you. And I ordain you that you might go forth and bring forth much fruit, and that your fruit should remain. See, so he calls us. And we don't have the ability or the capability to respond to God unless God does something to change the way we are.
That's right, man.
And the theologians in the world call that the doctrine of original sin.
Yeah, right.
In other words, everyone born of the seed of Adam, and that's everyone on the planet,
everyone,
is born in sin. Like David said in Psalms 51, he said, behold, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. In other words, I was born with a proclivity to sin and raised by sinful people.
Yeah.
Who did the best they could, but in spite of that, that's what it means to be shaped. Mm. They shaped him up. They taught him what they knew the best they could. This is how we were all brought up.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we don't talk about that. It's not a popular subject in the church, but I want you to know that it is a good thing to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
That we have a dark side to ourselves. I preached a message about that not long ago. There is a dark side to us, and the problem is deeply rooted and seated within our being. It's a part of us. So we have to address this, or we're not going to be able to put it in check. We're not going to be able to improve on it, and we're not going to be able to fully appreciate what happened at the cross,
right,
ultimately. And that's what we have to understand here. Right. Jeremiah telling these Jews who had violated God's will to the point that he was taking the Babylonians now to whip them and chastise and bring them out of their country. He said, you all are prancing around in there in my place, in my temple, but you're doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
You're not giving me honor and glory the way you should, the way I asked.
Right.
The whole idea of the temple was to acknowledge that people would come there to acknowledge that something you did was not right.
Mm.
You broke my law somewhere along the line.
Mm.
And so you had to come here to make a sacrifice to cover for your sin. And that was done once a year on the Day of Atonement. Some of you know this, some of you who have studied the Old Testament.
Yeah.
The Day of Atonement was very important. That was the day when all the males of 25 years and older were commanded to come three times a year before the Lord. One of those was the Day of Atonement. Deuteronomy 16:16, if you happen to be taking notes,
yeah,
you can look at it there. Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God, and they shall not come empty. Don't come without a sacrifice.
Amen.
God said, you must come to the temple. Now, what's the purpose of sacrifice? Think about it. Why did they need a sacrifice? You need a sacrifice because you broke God's law.
Right.
It's not because you kept the law, but the law had the provision of a sacrifice because you broke the law.
Yeah.
And so primarily they had to come and make a sacrifice before the priest. God was showing them that man does need a mediator with the high priest. The high priest would go in once a year and make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. He would go behind the veil and pour the blood. It had to be a blood sacrifice.
Yeah.
That says that the wages for sin is death.
Right.
And that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins.
Amen.
Like what the writer to the Hebrews says.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the text. Y'all say, well, where is it coming from here? Well, see, this is what I want you to see. So it was built into the law, the system of sacrifice, because that means you didn't keep the law, but I have grace for you. I'm going to allow a substitute for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to allow something else to stand in your place because you're guilty, because you've broken my law, to show you my mercy. It's not you. The wages for sin is death, but it's not you. It's a substitute. I let you bring a lamb or a bullock or two pigeons or turtle doves if you don't have the money to afford the big thing. See, because I want to cover everybody. I don't want anybody to say I can't come and make a sacrifice. So I make it where the sacrifice can be whatever you have or whatever it is in your financial ability to bring it. But the sacrifice is important. Everybody's coming knowing this thing is dying in my place. And that's how God communicated the gospel to these people before he came into the world to become flesh and pay the bill once and for all so that it doesn't have to be an annual sacrifice anymore. See? And that's what we're going to get to. But let's look at this text here. Jeremiah tells the Jews, he says, he asked them two profound questions. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Let me ask you today, can the Ethiopian change his skin?
No.
No, he can't. You can put some makeup on or something, but you can't really change it.
Nope.
Can the leopard change his spots?
Nope.
The interesting thing to me is the leopard doesn't want to change his spots. He stays where he is and he's happy. You know, I'm not upset how God made me. The Ethiopian may want to change his skin or any other kind. You see, because we kind of rebel against the way God made us and we don't think we're good enough and we got to do more and all that. But in other words, there's some things about you that are fixed.
Yeah.
It's just the way you are. Then he asked a question here to follow up with the idea he wants to bring home. Then may ye also do good who are accustomed to do evil? Can you do good if there's a proclivity to do evil in you? And the answer is, can you do good enough to satisfy a holy and a righteous God?
Amen.
And the answer is no.
No.
We cannot. God has never been satisfied by human works at any time except one time. That's the time when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
You know, we say this. We say, if you can't get a job done right, what? Do it yourself. And this is what it was. God said, I'm going to have to do this myself. And it was not an afterthought. He knew before the foundation of the world. That's why the Bible says Jesus is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because he knew already that we were going to have an issue and a problem with sin. Now, it doesn't mean it's okay to be in sin. Don't get the wrong message out of this. It just says that we've got some deep-seated issues that are as much a part of us as the color of the Ethiopian skin or as the spots on a leopard.
Amen.
That's why it says if you say that you have no sin, you lie, and the truth is not in you. See? But that's it sounds like bad news, but the good news in it all is God knows we have a deep-seated problem.
Yes, he does.
And he's merciful, he's kind, he's loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We can see it. Put yourself in those shoes. What about when your kids get out of whack? You know, boy, this kid's got a way to go here. But you don't hate him, you love him.
That's right.
I don't want nothing bad to happen to you.
Yes.
See, but I can see by the way you're doing stuff, you need to be put in check.
That's right.
So parents and parental love says, I'm going to check you right now before you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
See, not that I'm against you at all. I love you tremendously. I love you more than you know. So I'm trying to stop you from getting on a dangerous road that would mess up your life that you don't know about. And so God has been merciful like that and kind. And so he says, notice what he says, moving on, verse 24, therefore will I scatter them as a stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. He said, because that's the reason they went into captivity, is I need to let you know you abused everything, the good stuff I gave you. You start thinking you were satisfying me by the rituals that you were keeping. You didn't really feel any compassion when that animal was basically being laid on the altar. It used to be they bought their best. And, you know, even that down in the land of Egypt, when the first Passover was done, they were to take a lamb, a young lamb, a male without a spot, without a blemish, bring him into the house before the sacrifice, and then they were to slay him at twilight on a certain day when the angel of death was going to pass over that night. So why do you think God had them bring that animal in the house? And it doesn't really say, but just imagine what would happen. Put yourself in those shoes. God says, go out and select an animal. You take the whole family out. You say, let's see. That looks like the best one right there. The best male. A year old. Just born. You have more compassion and mercy on the younger ones. We're going to bring him in the house. He's going to stay in here with us for a few days. And then we're going to slash his throat. He's going to kick, bleed, and die. Right before us. Can you imagine what the children are thinking? Wow. Why does he have to die? Because we need a sacrifice. An innocent lamb died for me. That's why when Jesus came, John the Baptizer saw him coming to his baptism. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, Jesus came not to cover it for a year, which had to be repeated. Then they're going to take his blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. This is the lintel. That's the doorpost. So what you got there? You got a cross. The lintel and the doorpost. Strike the blood. Take a branch of hyssop and strike it on the lintel and the doorpost. That makes the sign of the cross. See? And the lamb has died. He's been slain. And then when the angel of death comes, he's going to skip your place and move on. So that the firstborn, your son or your daughter, won't pass away. See that? Boy, that's powerful. Powerful way to deliver a message, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And the problem is we have a deep-seated problem with sin that we use the word iniquity. That means inbuilt unrighteousness that's in there, where we have a tendency to do the wrong thing. Now, so God went on and he scattered his people out of the land and let them know, you abused the land, you didn't use it for my glory. You start thinking that you were all that in a bag of chips without me. And so I want you to see, no, it's not about the temple. It's not about your sacrifices. It's about the Most High God. Not only that, but my mission is not only to you Israelites and not only to you church folk. My mission is to the world. And so I want to use you to be good examples to the world. So I want the world to look at you and say, boy, they got something I really need. And I'm doing that because we have a good relationship together. So the obstacles of the realities of our fallen nature are deep and many, and therefore must never be underestimated. Don't underestimate the fact that we have a tendency not to do the right thing. As we see the impact of the fallen nature being revealed by the knowledge of the world, which is the biggest difference between being saved or lost. The biggest difference between the saved and the lost is we know we have an issue. We know we need mercy. We know we need Jesus. We need the blood of Jesus. We know that without him we can't do anything. And the world doesn't know that. So they have the same problem we have, but they don't know about the mercy of God. So you and I, the way we are, we have to be understanding of that. And that's why I call this message, just so you can know, challenge to selfless love. We have to look at ourselves and say, okay, we have something they don't have, but it's not because we're better. It's because God is merciful. It's because he loves us. And what he loves them too. He loves them as much as he loves you and me. He is the Savior of all men, Paul said, especially of those of the household of faith. Why? Because we have a more close relationship with God, because we are now cultivating that relationship with God. We're coming in confessing that we have a problem. God is saying, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just, what? To forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The forgiveness is me saying, I'm not going to penalize you for it. I cover you for it. And the cleansing is getting you clean where you don't do it anymore.
Yes.
That's why he said, I'm going to cleanse you. See, sometimes you have a stain, you can't get it out. You might go run and get some shout. Or some whatever, some comment or whatever you have. But God says, I'm going to use the blood of Jesus that satisfies me, and I'm going to wash you clean and wash you whiter than snow. You see, that's why Isaiah said, Isaiah 1:18, come now let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. God says, I'm going to cleanse you of your sin. And how is that? That's from the relationship that we have with God.
Yeah.
So the big difference between the saved and the lost, we know we need a cleansing.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
We know we need to be washed.
Yeah.
We have a relationship with God. We come to his table every month and say, Lord, cleanse me here.
Please.
And we confess our faults. We confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that we might be healed. Yeah. That's what James said, right? Yeah. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Much.
So we're getting ahead by prayer. Prayer and by fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we can't miss coming to church. I love to come to church. You don't ever have to coerce me to come to church. That's what I was telling my wife this morning.
Right.
On the way in. I'm anxious. I'm getting up heading toward the church.
Right.
I'm anxious to be at church. I know I need to be cleansed. Somebody in here might think, well, I'm not so bad. You know, and sometimes people want to come and they're not able to come. We understand that.
Yes.
But you know, your heart ought to be set on it. I need to come here, hear the word, because God is fixing me up.
Yes,
on the inside. He loves me.
Right.
He gave his son to prove that he loved me.
Yeah.
See, he washed me once and for all so I can block out your sin altogether. I don't see it at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this. You came to the Lord dirty, and God said, you trust in Jesus and believe I raised him from the dead. I cover you. I don't see it anymore. You're covered. And now I fill you on the inside with my spirit. Spirit is in there, inside.
Yes.
He's working from the inside out. God covered you from the outside in. So you're covered on the outside, so I don't see it. I don't have to judge you.
Yes.
Send you to hell. And my spirit is on the inside cleaning you up.
Yeah.
How do you get that? Because you get more faith. And faith comes by hearing.
Right.
Hearing by the word of God. So you must sit under the word of God.
Right.
That's why TV folks say, oh, I'm going to sit home and watch the TV preacher. No. You need to get in the atmosphere.
Yeah. That's right.
So you can hear from the word from God.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing. And the preacher of the word is what gives us faith.
Right.
See? So notice the term the law and the prophets. Let's go back here and take a look at this Matthew 7 passage. I want you to see this because this is famous and you've had this before. So this will be somewhat review. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you.
Mm-hmm.
Seek and ye shall find. Whatever it is you need, ask. That's a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a beautiful privilege it is.
Yeah.
To be able to ask God for anything.
Yes.
Knowing I know you, everything about you, deeply.
Mm-hmm.
You have no secrets from me.
No.
And I covered you anyway. I gave my son to make you perfect.
Yeah.
So you now have a right. You can come boldly, the Bible says, before the throne of grace.
Yeah.
And find mercy and grace to help in the time of need.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that relationship. We can now come boldly. Why? Because you're covered.
Yeah.
In your mind, you're thinking, oh, you know, I know I still got some stuff in there that ain't right. God said, I don't even see it. What are you talking about? But it's okay to confess it, say it, but don't let that stop you from coming to the Lord.
Because
I covered you so you can come, so you can hear, so you can be cleansed. He said, I want to cleanse you. How does he cleanse us? Let's answer that question. It says that he saved us not on the basis of deeds that we have done in righteousness, Titus 3:5, but by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Which he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus.
Right.
He says, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Right.
See? And so those verses let us see that we're being cleansed and washed by hearing the word.
Mm-hmm.
See, the water of the word, he says, cleansed and washed by the water of the word. So Jesus said, you can ask, and it shall be given to you. That's in the positive. You don't have to worry. Is he going to give it to you? Yes. Seek, and ye shall find. Go look for what you need.
Right.
Don't just sit there. It's not going to fall on you. You know what? The birds get up every morning. I'm amazed with the birds. They get up, they start praising God first thing they do. They're chirping, then next thing you know, they go looking for that meal. And they find it every day. And they don't store, neither gather in the barn. That's what Jesus said. They ain't stocking up nothing. I'm just going to enjoy God right now, and he's going to give me what I need.
Yeah.
You see, he ain't worried about a thing. I told somebody this, they said, well, how do you know? I said, the birds are not worried. Have you ever seen a worried bird? I have never seen one. I seen one that somebody messed with his nest or something, he might get a little upset. But the fact is, they know God is looking out for me. His eyes on the sparrow. We sing a song. And I know he watches over me. Because he said, are you not more important than many sparrows? See, so God loves you. He's looking out for you, and you just need to hear the word. You need to ask and know that he will give it to you. You need to seek. You know what? Seek. Get up and go do something. I heard Brother Tate mention that this morning. Yes, get up and help yourself.
Yeah.
Why? Don't just sit there.
Right.
Get up and do something.
Yeah.
Break some new ground.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. The devil's saying, stay home, don't do nothing. You know you ain't no good.
Yeah.
And the flesh is saying, yeah, you know that's true. But God says, I blessed you and I washed you. I gave my son for you. Get up and ask. Get up and seek.
Yeah.
Go do something.
Yeah.
Don't just sit there.
Yeah.
Get on up and go. Like I told you, that when you go, it's going to be open for you. When you're not, I'm going to open it for you.
Yeah.
But all of these are verbs. These are verbs. Ask.
Yeah.
That means pray.
Yeah.
Talk to God about it.
Yeah.
See? Seek. Go look for what he told you I have blessed you with.
Mm.
I got stuff laid up for you, but you get up and go seek it, just like the birds get up and go fly out of their nests and go find what they need. But they get what they need. They don't come back empty.
Mm.
See?
Never.
And he says, and knock. All of that's action. If you look at that, ask, that's A. Seek, that's S. Knock, that's K. A-S-K. Ask, seek, and knock. Did you ever see that in there? That's in the English. It amazed me. I said, wow, that's amazing. There it is. Now he says, verse, this is the guarantee, verse 8, for everyone that asketh, and you see that word asketh, up here in 7 it just says ask. Down here it says asketh in the King James. That's why I put the King James. That means keep asking. Don't just ask once and stop. Keep on asking. Be diligent. That's what that ETH ending means there in the King James. You don't see that in other translations. He says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth.
Yeah.
That means you keep on receiving.
Right.
And he that seeketh, you see that? Findeth.
Yeah.
The more you seek, the more you're going to find.
Yeah.
You sit around like a bump on a log, what you're going to get? Because
yeah.
You ain't seeking nothing.
Yeah.
Seek and ye shall find.
Yeah.
Knock.
Yeah.
And it shall be open. Is that what it said? Knocking. Him that knocketh, that keeps on knocking. It shall be open. So this is continuing. This is an action that started here and continues on. See, so don't get complacent in the Lord. He can do anything but fail. He doesn't have any limitations. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they who dwell in it. And he's given you a license to seek, to knock, to seek, and to ask.
Yes.
You ought to exercise that. Don't sit on it.
Yes.
The devil say, just sit on it. You ain't going to get nothing anyway.
Yep.
Or trouble will come and say, ah, see there, that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking.
Amen.
Because I'm with you.
Yeah.
Even to the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if the world ain't ended, guess what? You can continue to ask.
Yeah.
You can continue to seek.
Yeah.
And you can continue to knock.
Yeah.
And then he gives you an analogy. He says, of what man is there of you? If his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? No. That's my son. He want bread? Am I going to give him a stone?
No.
No. You wouldn't even do that, he said.
No.
Then he says, if ye then being evil, that means all y'all, that ye, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to him that ask him? Wow. We give good gifts to our children. Not trying to give him no stone. I'm not trying to give him a serpent. If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. Fish is an easy thing. We'll give you a fish, that's easy. Maybe even some mac and cheese to go with it. All right, now. So he says, now this is the summary here. I want you to see this. This is where we're going to hang our hat today. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that man should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now that's where the challenge is. Whatever you want people to do to you, you do the same to them.
All right.
So this is why this is a challenge to selfless love. You know, it's easy to love yourself and give yourself everything you think you need or you want. Sometimes we give ourselves more than we need. You see? But when somebody else needs something, even if it's consideration, if it's prayer,
yes,
if it's understanding, no matter what it is about what they're going through, you should understand. And you have to give them understanding. Think of them like you do yourself. The term the law and the prophets that Jesus uses here is a euphemism for the Old Testament scriptures which God gave through Moses and the prophets to set a righteous standard in the world for all people by which each one can measure and evaluate their own spiritual condition, much like a mirror does for your outward appearance. You look in the mirror, you know what you look like. You look in the law and the prophets, you know what you look like.
Yep.
Right.
See, that's why if Jeremiah says we have a situation of a proclivity to do evil, just like an Ethiopian can't change his skin or a leopard his spots. So inside, there's some stuff we know we can't change, but God can. That's the good news. You can't change it, but God can. Have you asked him to do it? Are you seeking him to do it? Are you knocking on his door, Lord, please do it? Or are you happy with it? That's the problem I have. Sometimes you're happy with it and you don't want to change it.
Yep.
But you got to analyze yourself in the light of the truth, the law and the prophets. Yeah. He said that if you could just love God above everything and love your neighbor as yourself, you have fulfilled the whole law.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even have to know what the law is in that case. Because love is the fulfillment of God's law.
Yes, it is.
Okay? So as simple as it may seem, keeping the golden rule is the very most difficult thing that we have to do. Because we are not good judges of our own selves sometimes. And however we strive to be judges of others with a different set of standards than we use on them. We use a different set for them than we use for ourselves. That the ones we use on ourselves, therefore, if it is well needed that we be encouraged to periodically evaluate ourselves, our motives, our actions, our overall status before we attempt to do it for others. That's why Jesus said, why is it that you behold the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't see the beam that's in your own eye? Wow, you know, what's the speck that your brother has? He said, how can you look around that log and see the speck over there in your brother's eye?
That's right.
You got this big log. Imagine that. That's really, I think that's hyperbole. In other words, he's exaggerating the situation. Because how can I see a speck over there on Dr. Adams and there's a board in my eye? How you miss that board to look over there and see a speck over there across the room? See what I'm saying? So he says, check yourself. Evaluate yourself, and I think he meant to be funny there. I don't know. I didn't hear anybody laughing. That's kind of a hard slap. But it's true.
Yeah.
Yo, we can see the speck easy. Oh, Michael Douglas, you got issues.
Yeah.
What about you? And it's not that we don't want to help each other. We do. But we have to learn how to balance that whole thing of treating others the way we want to be treated. And sometimes it's not easy. In fact, it's always difficult. It's always difficult because you don't also, and it doesn't mean you give in to anything anybody wants.
That's right.
It means you do what is the best thing for someone. So that's what God does. He does the best thing for you. You don't get everything you want. Because sometimes what you want will make you in the worse shape than you need to be. You know, so sometimes I need to talk about what you need rather than what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
The big difference.
Yeah.
See? And you know what? If you get on the wrong track, you're going to appreciate it if somebody helps you get on the right track.
Yeah.
Whatever that takes. And it may take tough love.
Mm-hmm.
It may mean I'm not going to give you what you think you need,
right,
but I'm going to give you what you really need.
Amen.
It says a rebuke goes deeper into a righteous man than 100 blows into the back of a fool, one of the Proverbs says. In other words, if you rebuke me, that may help me more than if you try to satiate the thing that I'm asking you for. So you have to have the wisdom to understand the difference there.
Yes.
But if you're not saved, I want to challenge you before I give the invitation. I want to challenge you to selfless love. Yes. Now, love doesn't mean I'm all wishy-washy in anything you say I'm going to try to do. That's not love. Because you wouldn't do your kids that way. Think about it. If you're out of order and I need to check you, then I need to check you.
Right.
That's what you need at the moment. If I'm out of order, I need to be checked.
Yes.
And that's the same thing. So I'm always going to examine it, but look at it in the light of the fact that, two things. And then first of all, the lost don't know they're lost, or they wouldn't be lost. That's why you're lost. You don't know where you are. And you don't understand. You know, you don't see it at all. So you have to understand that. And then the next thing is that grace. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And if we start to see our lives as for the whole purpose of my life is to bless somebody else. That's why he left me here, to help somebody else understand him and what he has provided. He gave his son so that you and I and everyone else, the whole world. He said, what? God so loved what? The world, that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him. Yeah. See, that's the highest thing people need, and maybe the thing they know the least. They don't, else they wouldn't be lost. Folks wouldn't be trying to supplement what the church is doing. See, a lot of folks do that. They think, the church is not enough. I need to be this, that, or the other, and join up with something else. But that's not really true. The gospel of Christ is completely sufficient. It needs no help from anything or anyone else. It is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, he extended it to them, and also to the Greek. That means the Gentile. See, anybody else is who that really means. But God has never only exclusively saved one people group. Even when the Jews were being saved, there were folk like Rahab, the harlot, who believed God, and it was counted to her for righteousness. There was Ruth, the Moabitess. She was from a cursed tribe. See, you got all kinds of people. You got Naaman, the leper. He was a Syrian leper, but he got saved because he trusted the God of Israel. So you see that all through the Bible. All kinds of people always trusting God. And whether they were Jew or Gentile, God never turned them away. He did this for you, whoever you are, no matter who you are. God loves you and gave his son for you. And he never turned away a believer, no matter how deeply in sin they were or whatever the case was. I love you, and you can't fix the problem. I can. And if you come to me, I will. That's what God's saying.
That's right.
I love you just like you are, but I love you too much to leave you that way.
Yes,
I do. I want you to come in and have fellowship with me, and in that fellowship, I'm going to make you a new creature. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, he gives you a new life. So I'm going to ask you all to stand. Let's have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We exalt your name. Thank you for your glorious gospel, Father. You gave your son, Jesus Christ, to cover all who believe in him, no matter who they are and what they've done. No matter how deeply entrenched in bad things we may be, you are able to save from the guttermost even to the uttermost. And so, Father, we come trusting in Christ alone. You said you were satisfied entirely by what he did and nothing else. And so, Father, we thank you for that gospel. We ask that you just bless every person under the sound of my voice to know that they are saved. And the reason we can know is because you raised Jesus out of the grave. Seated him at your right hand, allowed him to be seen for 40 days after he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he did it for me. He did it for each of us. And whoever believes in him, you made a proclamation to the world, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And Father, we bless you and we praise you. Thank you for that awesome gift, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Church said together, amen. Amen. Give God a praise. And if you're here today and you'd like to become a part of the St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, we give you that opportunity right now. You may come and connect with us. Amen. Come to Jesus.
while you have time. Come, come to Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come, come to Jesus.
Commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. You may be seated once again in the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to call Brother G to come and give us the benediction if all minds are clear. Amen. Amen. Amen.